So again, something has gone wrong with their thinking. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" We heard that. And this is what jumped out to me in verse 10. Look at verse 10. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid." I believe that's the first time that fear, I believe, is mentioned in the Word of God. Before this, there was no fear. There was this open communication between God and man. Now there is fear, and man is hiding from God. Right? Sin has had an effect. And think about it. This is on your, they're thinking, they're now thinking, we don't want to get near to God. Right? So they were afraid. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So that's where man is naturally. That's where we naturally speaking, shy away from God. And he said, and by the way, I'm going to make a few comments and I'm going to pause so that others can participate. But some key points I want to make here. He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you shouldn't?" The Lord knew what had happened. But listen to this. This is the part that jumped out to me. I didn't read this in a book. All right? I didn't read it in any commentary. "Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate.'" You know, in one sense, when I read that, he was blaming God on his problem. You know, that's one of the biggest things. Look at this. "The woman whom you gave me, the woman you gave me, it's your fault. It is your fault. Magically, somehow, that woman gave me this thing to eat, and I ate it because it was you, the woman you gave to me." So notice that, that one of the things that comes in here is that man, and interesting, Darby uses the term man, man doesn't want to take responsibility. And that's one of the biggest issues, I think, amongst all of us. If you think about as a sinner, we have to get to the point where we realize I'm guilty. Here, the first thing, the thing is her fault. In fact, it's your fault. You give me this woman, and she gave me it to eat, and I ate. That's a natural thing. We do not want to take, we always point the finger, it's somebody else's fault. It's not me. That's really a serious thing. That came in. And I think that's the condition in which we naturally are. We always want to point the finger at somebody else. And you know, many people want to point the finger at God. It's your fault. You made me this way. Right? So that starts it. Okay, we're not done yet. Something that I learned, interestingly. The next verse. "And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" You know what I learned this morning? She was spot on. Her analysis of the situation was perfectly correct. She was right. Satan had deceived her. Adam wasn't correct. Adam wasn't being honest. But Eve was absolutely correct. She was deceived. If you read 2 Timothy chapter 1, I believe it is, 1 Timothy chapter 1, you'll find that she was deceived. Adam transgressed, but the woman had made a correct analysis of her situation. She had been deceived. And then we go on, she passes on the thing to the serpent and so on. But I'm going to pause right now for those are the key points. Number one, because of the entrance of sin, no longer is this harmonious relationship with God, man has to hide himself. That's the natural condition that we're in. We're hiding from God. We don't want to be in his presence. Fear comes in. A man does not want to take responsibility for his own failure. We tend to point the finger at the other. It's your fault. Never want to say, you know what? Let me start with me. And I believe that, as I said, in the gospel, one of the first steps that we have to do, we have to repent. That's a key point. If we don't get to that point, I would question, others may argue about this, but I wonder if a person truly is saved. You've got to repent. You've got to get to the point and say, you know what? It was my fault. I'm guilty. And then, as I said, the woman, she had a correct analysis. She was deceived. And one point I want to make, Satan is a deceiver. Satan is a deceiver. He's a liar and he's a deceiver. You read that straight into in the book of Revelation. He is a deceiver and his work has been going on. He seeks to deceive us. And we need to hold on to the Word of God. And on Sunday, I remember we thought about remembering the Word of God. We have to hold on to the Word of God because Satan is a deceiver. I'll pause now for others to participate.
And just add something that has come up through this verse here that Sam is highlighting. This idea that the woman was accurate when she said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." And we can notice that the awareness of being deceived always comes too late. Right? The awareness, if we might be aware of the attempt to be deceived, but if we ever have to say, "I was deceived," it's always too late. And part of this, part of the results of the curse and the fall, Satan was also correct in one sense. The reason it was a deception was part of what he said was true. He said, "Your eyes will be opened. You will know good and evil." And her eyes were opened. But knowing good and evil is an impotent level of knowledge, because it does not come with the power to choose the good. And so, whereas in the beginning of Genesis, at creation, this was not an issue, now, because of the fall, because of the effect of sin on their minds, they have a new skill set to know good and evil, but it actually is ruinous. It's not freeing, it's ruinous. Because if all we know is we know good and evil, it doesn't come with the power to choose the good. And so what Eve says here, though she is accurate, it's actually it's a statement of the deepest sorrow. The serpent deceived me, and look what has happened. As we go through the subject today, we'll see how the results of the fall have affected us so precipitously, so thoroughly, that we cannot, in our natural condition, overcome these things. Mm-hmm. And that'll be part of our discussion. But this impotent knowledge, this impotent body of knowledge that we receive now because of the fall is actually very ruinous, and it has affected the way we think.
I think we need to see here is what's one of the first things that Eve being deceived, or the way the enemy proceeded with Eve, mm-hmm. what's one of the first things that he does? Mm-hmm. Actually, before that, there's something he does before he questions God's word. There's something that oftentimes we miss it. And it's very subtle, but this is the beginning. I believe this is his goal in every one of our lives, and why he brings discouragement in, and why he wants to deceive us and cause us to be discouraged, is because he doesn't want us to enjoy the relationship we have with God. And the point being, as soon as man's created, it's not Elohim. It's Jehovah Elohim. Mm-hmm. Once man is created, he has this relationship with Jehovah Elohim. Mm-hmm. But did you notice in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field that Jehovah Elohim has made." Mm-hmm. "And he said to the woman, 'Has Jehovah Elohim?'" Is that what it says? No. He leaves off Jehovah, the God of relationship, the covenant-keeping God. He leaves that name off. And he says, "Has Elohim." See the point? He wants us to lose sight of our relationship and our connection with him. That's the first thing he does. He lowers God down in her eye. And young people, this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get our eyes off of our relationship with the Lord and put them on other things. And that's what he does here. And then, "Has God indeed said?" The next thing he says is he questions God's word. And he deceives. And he uses the mind. Just to underline this point that Brother Sam was mentioning, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, Paul is writing and he says, 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I fear lest somehow the serpent, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds," your minds. And this is what we've been dealing with on Sunday. This is what we're dealing with now. "So your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The simplicity of that relationship with Christ. This is what the enemy wants to corrupt. And this is what we have in Genesis chapter 3.